And welcome back to the Tennessee Star Report. It is 6:18 a.m. We welcome to our newsmaker line right now the founder and president of Professional Educators of Tennessee, our very good friend, J.C. Bowman. Good morning, J.C.
Good morning, Michael. How you doing today?
I'm glad to have you here to help us unravel this new education funding program. Where are we on it? It's called TISA, T-I-S-A. It replaces BEP, Basic Education Program. What does TISA stand for? Where is it now?
Well, it's the Tennessee Investment in Student Achievement is what it's called now, replacing the Basic Education Program, which we'd used previously. But so where is it at now? Now they are soliciting input, the State Department is, on how to implement the law that passed the General Assembly. And to give you an idea, that would be like going to your, it looks great getting input, and they'll get input from, I guarantee you, from key stakeholders that they want, like SCORE will put in there, here's what we think it should look like.
And who are those folks, SCORE?
It's the group founded by Senator Frist and Governor Bredesen. And they're the ones who really drive a lot of the education policy in the state. And they're funded by Bill Gates.
Now, Bill Gates, not exactly a friend to what we would call traditional education values.
No. But so the process is they'll go in and get solicit input. But the average citizen doesn't know how to implement how you're going to fund public schools. I mean, they have ideas. Parents may have ideas. You know, we go with catchphrases, and this is a season of politics, so we're all used to being, you know, this is a conservative. Everybody's a conservative in the primary. But what's going to end up happening, or if you're a Democrat, you'd be a progressive, and they're going to do their labels, whether they really are or not, depends on, you know, the beholder. But basically, at the end of the day, they're soliciting input, and the average citizen doesn't understand. And quite frankly, the average legislator doesn't understand how the implementation is going to become. And my fear, and this has been the fear from the onset, it's going to become a bureaucratic nightmare.
Well, let me add to that, J.C., the average radio host does not understand how TISA will be implemented. Could you give us, just a little brief snapshot of what TISA, how it differs from the Basic Education Program, or BEP, and I'm going to try to keep my eyes open and hope that they won't glaze over as you go into the details here.
Well, what they're going to do is, what they're saying is it's child-centered funding. Well, the truth is, BEP was also child-centered funding, and in essence, if the child wasn't enrolled in the school, the school did not get the money. So that's not changing, but what they're going to start doing now is going to pay, you're going to get additional dollars if a child is in poverty. You're going to get additional money if the child is special education. You're going to get additional money if the child is this category or that category. And if you go to take CTE courses, you're going to get additional money for these various items. So money will come in based upon certain indicators. Sounds good in theory. The implication, though, of that is it's going to become this is going to mean the Tennessee Department of Education probably will dictate the curriculum choices, the programs. They're going to control the money even more. It's going to create a bureaucracy. I mean, if you're in a school and you're having to enroll a child, the very first thing, Michael Leahy enrolls in Westside Elementary School, you come in and the thing we're going to do is go, okay, let's see, Michael, you need to take some courses. Daddy needs money, mama needs a new car, whatever. You're going to take some CTE courses. We're going to be enrolling you. You may be special ed. You may not be special ed. We're going to start classifying you. You're in the poverty area. We can get you into that. It's going to, but then you're going to be putting it, again, here's how you grow the bureaucracy. Because now every school is going to have these enrollment people at every school level. And then if you don't do it and you don't check those boxes, you don't get the money, which means if you don't get the money, then you can't have the program. I don't know if that makes sense, but that is, in a nutshell, how it works.
It kind of confuses me. Okay.
Yeah.
Where? What? Now, I thought, tell me if I'm wrong on this, I thought when the law was passed, everything was settled, and yet now there's this feedback period that's involved. What will change based upon the feedback?
Well, hopefully, like, for example, dyslexia. There's going to be some issues with the dyslexia thing. What the dyslexia advocates, which are fierce, they are. I helped write the dyslexia law in Tennessee. By the way, Tennessee Star was a champion of that, and people don't know that, but you were probably the first newspaper outlet in the state to carry a lot of the material, because what was happening in that area was these kids literally were told, you don't get any help, you get no dollars, you don't get anything, and sorry, you don't get to do well, and your test scores count even if the kid doesn't get the time to take the test. So that means things we've been working on to fix it, but now you're going to get additional money. So these advocates in the dyslexia community were fierce advocates, thinking that they would get additional dollars for their children, and now they're finding out that they actually may end up getting less money for their kids. And so they're pretty upset. I've talked to some members of the dyslexia committee, a community who feel like that they were led astray by the Department of Education. And I'm shocked, I tell you, shocked.
Shocked that somebody was led astray by the Department of Education?
Yeah, shocked. They felt like that they had advocated.
And in other news, there's gambling in Casablanca.
But that has been one of the major areas. But again, it's going to create a bureaucratic system that's going to be more heavier. You're going to see more money going to more bureaucracy and less money going into actual instruction, which is what people really want. You want people to quit picking out curriculum decisions and, you know, some of this other thing. And we can get into this, Michael, and this is the other thing. I know you want to focus specifically on PISA, but a very little side note on the social studies standard, which, by the way, you guys, you covered last night on the news, did an excellent job. And what happened was that the Department of Education declined to help the state board with the standards. And the reason cited was they had no social studies experts at the Department of Education that can help them establish the standards. Now, just let that sink in for a minute. If all the work you did on CRT, all the work you've done on all these other issues, pushing civics and all this in social studies, and there is nobody at the Tennessee Department of Education capable of helping with the standards, and there's nobody who implements that.
Yeah, what's interesting about this, it seems to me, is, and we didn't cover this specifically in our story at the Tennessee Star, which we also reported on the Tennessee Star Evening News Update last night. There does appear to be conflict here between the Department of Education and the State Board of Education. Could you elaborate on that a bit?
1 minute.
Yeah, what it is actually the conflict is that the legislature does not trust the department to enact legislation that they pass. So they pass a lot of this stuff on with more oversight being given to the State Board of Education, which does have an appointed board. And so in doing so, the Department of Education is basically saying, look, you all cut us out, we're not helping.
Well, on that note, J.C. Bowen, the president of Professional Educators of Tennessee, thanks for joining us. Come back again in studio again soon, if you would, please.
Yes, sir. Anytime. Thanks.
All right. J.C. Bowen, a good friend. We'll be back with Crom Carmichael after this.